All right, Luke chapter 14. Then said he unto him, a certain... Are we in the right place? Then he said to him... Okay, it was the KJV that was... Then he said to him, a certain man had gave a great supper. And what? And invited many. You know, this parable is talking about the Lord, right? Yes, sir. He said, a great man or a certain man. If you read, which we'll still read, if you read Matthew 22, it was a certain king. The same story. He said he had a great supper. In fact, in Matthew told us what the supper was about. It was actually a wedding, the wedding of his son. Are you with me? You know, no, we'll come back here. Let's stay in Luke 14. He said that he invited many. You know, when I saw this verse, the verse broke me. It broke me in such a very deep way. You know, I can't remember when last a verse, you know, made me feel the way I felt when I read this particular verse. Because suddenly it dawned on me that God invites many. You see, there is something about great people. When you are great, one of the things you will not like is to invite many people. There is usually exclusivity around greatness. Don't you think so? Like you rarely see great people having to invite many. You see? Like the greater somebody is like the fewer people they like around them. Huh? That's why when some great people are having weddings, for example, they want it strictly by invitation. It's like when you're very great, it's a privilege for people to be around you. Am I not correct? It's a privilege for people to be around you. You know, but it's as if it's the reverse with God. Right? You know, he's so great, but he keeps inviting many people. You know, he is not exclusive with his greatness. Amazing thing. Listen, if God hands over the kingdom to us to help him manage, you know, we will not do it the way he's doing it. Like, even though we didn't deserve, you know, to be joined to him. But if he tells us, okay, now I've taken you, help me manage it. You know, we'll be very strict. If I was the one managing it, for example, this guy would never be in the kingdom. I would never allow this guy to be in the kingdom. I tell you, Paul, this guy, I would never allow you. I'll say, you are not ready. I tell you, there are people, you see, unconsciously in our minds right now, there are people that you are not expecting in the kingdom. Even you, as you are here like this, there are people that in your brain, they have a nickname. You call them Omoburuku somewhere. Like it's stored. You really do not expect, you see, anything godly from them. Are you together with me? There are people like that. In your head, they are like a representative of Satan. That's how you unconsciously see them. Yeah. That's how you unconsciously see them. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't have the ability to see them differently. Like maybe God can use them. But God is not like that. He invites many. He throws the door wide open. And he's the greatest person. person ever, but he's not exclusive. He's so great. He should be exclusive. If God were relating with us and is exclusive in his basis of relating with people, nobody would judge him or question him, because he's too holy. Are you together with me? He's too holy. But when you see the kind of people God used in scripture, the kind of hope God has in people, it's so amazing. It's so amazing. Sometimes the Bible embarrasses us sometimes. Like we who are preachers of the Bible. You know, we wish some people were not there. Do you understand? Because it would be as if you are preaching bad thing. Like it's not easy to be preaching about rehab, for example. Because it would be as though maybe there's a prostitute in your service. That will say, Ewo, Ewo. Christ got on, only God. Through Agoloti Jade, Ewo. You know, you are like, let me preach it. Let me be balanced. So that the rehabs will not, you know, feel, you know, Jesus looked at the woman, the prostitute who broke the alabaster box and said that there is nowhere the gospel will be preached that your name will not be mentioned. Now, he didn't even say that about the 12. I'm telling you the truth. Even the 12 who were with him, he didn't say that about them, but it was a prostitute. Now, I'm talking about her. It's like he has wired us. See, that woman, we'll be saying what Jesus said about her. And that will be that you are talking about her. I tell you. If you ask me now, you see, if they say one of the qualifications to be a pastor is to mention the 12 disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, you see, I will not qualify anymore. Because I can't even mention the 12. I tell you. Can you mention the 12? You know all the 12? Do you know the, you should know the 12. You can't look like this and not know the 12. You too, you know the 12. Ah, Toby, your mom will not be happy about this. I tell you the truth, because I know they tried for you. Jones, you know the 12. These are great men of God. You know, that's why, they are in front. These are great men of God. They don't even know the name of the 12. You should know the name of the 12. Huh? All right.
Peter. Okay. Peter, James, John. No.
How can you say you know the 12?
At least those. Okay. Matthias. Yes.
I want 12 to work with Luke. Coach, it'll be replaced. Ogbedi. I tell you, those were the real Jesus' guys. We don't even know their name. But one woman who has lived a life of a prostitute one day broke. I want you to understand the kind of doors, the way how wide our Lord's door is. You remember, this is like close to the parable he told us about the people he invited that started working with him very early, and some came late, and then he gave them the same salary. I tell you, it's such a wide door. I tell you the truth, the door is very wide. I see. The person you're expecting to die, you see, might be the next apostle God is trusting for your life. Yeah. I tell you the truth. It's as if God is not fighting anybody. Like, it's only us fighting ourselves. So he invited many. You know when you see a party and it says strictly by invitation, it means that they don't want many people. They don't want many people. And it's because they think people will want to come to their party. If you don't have that thought, you will not put strictly by invitation. If you were doing your party on the street, maybe you just put a canopy on the street. You will not give people strictly by invitation. In fact, people will be telling you to reduce the noise of your speaker that is affecting He says, it's as though they invited you to use your street, you know, to do. So it's like you are the guest. Amazing. You see, I'm grateful that my Father, the God of heaven and earth, invites many. I'm so grateful. Listen, if it's not because he invites many, people like us will not be there. Yeah. If that was not his heart, people like us will not be there. Because if he had given people to choose, like to help him, if he had committed the list into the hands of people, they won't put a lot of us there. In fact, some of us are so bad, that, you see, we have become so bad that we have become truthful. You know, there's a way you can be bad that you know you don't deserve something. Yeah, have you, like, even you would tell the Lord that. You know, one of my sons was asking me one day, he said, can the Lord take me back? You see, I wish I can tell him the Lord will not, because I'm angry at him. He says, can the Lord take me back? I said, unfortunately. Unfortunately, he will. He said, because I've gone far. I said, unfortunately, he will. Invite many. What a God. What a God. Listen, it is this many that made you enter the list. Because a lot of us did not come from the kind of Timothy kind of family. Where our grandmother had one faith that he put in that our mother now put in us. That Paul now says, oh Timothy, you have faith. The one, you see, some of us, our grandmother, what she had there. You see, it's the things they used to tie. You understand? I tell you, our grandmother has nothing worthy of transfer. So we do not naturally, you see, we do not biologically qualify. But we have a God that invites many. And if he didn't invite many, I won't be here. Yeah, I won't be here. I won't be here preaching if he didn't invite many. What a great God. So I want you to know that as you're going outside, whoever you see, no matter how terrible you think the person is, God has already invited the person. Yes. I tell you. So you will be preaching to invited people. Yes. Like, we're not begging God to invite them. We're just, you are preaching to invited people. Hallelujah. I tell you. Isn't this amazing? Yes, I think this should excite you. All right, let's read. And sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord. This is amazing, no? They all, you see. Ah, tereyo konu wanto yengbe oni brain. Like they all with one accord. Began to make excuses. Give me KJV. All of them with one accord. The Bible says, and they all with one consent. See, there is a spirit in the world operating in everybody that makes it easy for you to refuse God. I tell you the truth. Like, you refusing God, there is a spirit. You see, the Bible says, if our gospel is hidden, you see, if it says it is hidden to those who are blind. I don't know, that's the way, is it 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Who the God of this world has blinded their eyes. I tell you the truth. There is one consent. I tell you. Like, if this invite, you see, actually, it's meant to be us going to God and God selecting. Now, the great God has opened the door. Now, we are the ones now refusing. It's so amazing. The Bible says he came to his own. And his own rejected him. Like, they didn't receive him. The Bible says, with one... I tell you the truth, that if you have a passion,
You see, to follow the Lord is an unnatural thing. It's a blessing from heaven. And actually, have you noticed that immediately you make a decision to start following God, one of the things that will begin to happen to you is that you begin to have issues with people who you didn't have issues with. There is a type of offense that following God brings. Yeah. I tell you the truth. Listen, when a child is a bad child, maybe he goes to club, he's always doing that, his parents, after a while, his parents would leave the child alone. Like if he goes to club every Friday, you see, they'll leave the child alone later. The Friday he stays at home, they'll be very happy. They'll say, they will smile. You see, if that child then stops going to club and starts going to church every Friday, you see, those same parents who were praying for him to change, now that he has become completely connected to church, they'll start having issues with that child. Yeah. They will now become, you see, have you noticed that parents respect the bad child and disrespect the good one? Yeah. Yeah. Like the bad one, they'll respect the bad one. They fear the bad one. Because if the bad one give it to them. So you see, they use the good one to try and practice parenthood. Because they have already failed with the bad one. I tell you the truth. There is something offensive about serving God. That sometimes even you are trying to be careful. So that it won't be like your own is too much. Yeah. It's offensive. Do you know that if somebody gives bribe to four people now, and one person does not collect, do you know the other three people will start attacking the one that did not collect? Yeah. It's as though their life is at risk. Yeah. So the day you collect, my God. Who is dumb, Nikini? I tell you the truth. You see, that's why the way to get people to keep quiet when you are serving the Lord is to multiply the service times 1 million until they are sure that you have signed. They won't keep quiet. Yeah, if you are still careful about what they will say, they will frustrate you. But when you take it to another level, after the word, they will say, I remember when I met Jesus. You know, I met Jesus. You see, I met Jesus at 16, but one of the reasons why things like smoking or drinking is not a temptation to me is this. Is that when I was smoking and drinking, I was very small. So when I see people smoking and drinking, it reminds me of my childhood. So immediately I saw somebody smoking, Mama Rebi Omodi. Because I was smoking and drinking as a child. So if I see somebody smoking and drinking, I'll just remember when I was 12. Because I was smoking and drinking at 12, 13. You know, then maybe getting drunk where they have to carry you home. You know, you are sleeping on the main road. I was sleeping on the main road drunk at 14. You understand? Like my own sweet and ice cream was Calypso. When I'm riding bicycle, I ride bicycle with a bottle of Calypso. You know, when you go and ride bicycle, when you're riding bicycle with children, I'm riding my own with Calypso. I don't even know Calypso. You know Calypso. Toby, you don't know Calypso. You know Calypso. On what it looks like on television. I don't know if they see do Calypso. Yeah. Who still drinks Calypso here? I will use the word of knowledge to catch the person. Praise God. What brought me to the Calypso gist? Yeah, but what even brought me to that conversation? Yeah, if you don't go deep, they won't leave you alone. No. I tell you. And that's why one of the sad things about Christians is that it's so sad and unfortunate that people are mixing Christianity and timidity. It's an unfortunate thing. Like, how can you be a child of God and you are timid? We're one of the most timid sets of people. And the reason is because we really do not understand what we have received. Are we together, friends? Like, the person who is going to hell should be the one timid. Like, you should be hiding to go, that you are going to hell. But the Christian is hiding about going to heaven. Like, you are shy about it. Are my friends here? So, with one consent, so there is, I want you to understand that there is a general concession, agreement, you see, to refuse the Lord. It's a general thing. It's the spirit of the age. It's the spirit of the age. To refuse God, to rebel against God, is a general thing. It's like an umbrella that Satan has used to put, has put everybody under that umbrella. But I pray for anyone who is under that umbrella that you leave that umbrella. Because there is a better life. It's a better life. With one consent. So you see, when you find yourself in any group, for example, it is a scary thing that you fit in. Because there is already a knowledge that people are generally against the Lord. So whenever you fit in, it must be because that that thing that makes people rebel against God is at work in you. And the flip side is, when you notice you don't fit into things, it's a good thing. I don't know if you are getting my point. It's a good thing. When you always fit in, anytime they are doing anything in this life, you always fit in. Like, woe is, Jesus Christ said, woe is you when all men like you. Like, when everybody likes you, it's because woe is you. Are you together? I mean, woe is you. It's okay not to be liked. But I tell you, it's better not to be liked but authorized than to be liked and powerless. Yeah. Listen, friends, there is authority in difference. There is authority in what? When you are different, you have authority. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So with one consent, they began to make excuses. So you see, excuses is creativity of darkness. Yeah, because they make it. Like, you have to make it. It's a creative thing. It's a creative thing. When you are making excuses, you are being creative in darkness. So you see, anytime you are making excuses not to do the right thing, you are actually using. How many of you, tell the truth, how many of you have told people why you didn't come to a place? And even though what you said is not an outright lie, but you know that's not why. Like, you created that thing. Have you met people who want to explain to you why they have not seen you? And they will tell you that they lost somebody. I said, cool, take care. Ni bubu 2 months here. Mama to do roll for 1 year. Ni delay baba wa. What shall I say? In fact, bubu burial in lakote. Now the burial, the old burial is about 3 days. But people talk as though they use 3 months to do one thing. Because you see, if somebody tells you somebody died, and that's why they didn't have time for you, you know, you will be a Satan. So the thing you can always say, mama, you don't get any mama. In Kota, for the past three months, by Akisha and Sari Kiri, I said one last week. Do you know that whenever people confront you, you naturally look for something as an excuse? It's a natural. Have you not noticed? You look for something. You know that's not why. But you know that it's close to why. There's a way you can tell the story that it will look like why. So you make, oh my goodness, there are plenty here. So you make it. It's like you make it. We make it. So excuses are made. Like you are creative in darkness. So what the first one was able to make. You see, because the supper is the wedding is at night. It's just one night. The wedding is one night. But the first one said, I just bought a piece of land. Now, nobody, see, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. Now, nobody inspects land in the night. Nobody inspects, you see, but, because it's night, it's supper. But the guy said, I bought a piece of land. Now, so, I bought a piece of land. You see, you should be happy that I bought a piece of land. It's a good thing. Be happy for me. I bought a piece of land. It's not like I don't want to come, but I bought a piece of land. It's like a creative excuse. I bought. Mumma, okay, I mumma tigra le. La le. I bought a piece of land. Do you know how many of you who make strange excuses for not coming for rehearsals even here? Strange. You just create. I'm sure my eye is an expert of that. Yeah, I know. I just have a feeling in my heart. That he can create excuses. All of us have that ability. He says, I bought a piece of land. He says, and I must. You see, and it's the way it is, I must go and check it that same day, even though it's my own land. Like I can decide whenever to go and check it. But for some reason, the day you put that event is actually the day that I put the day I want to go and inspect it. It's just that day. It's just a strange coincidence. Like the same day. You see, he said, I must. Do you understand that? Now, this is the relationship. This parable is the relationship between we and God. Do you know how many I must that we tell God? A lot of I must. Do you understand? I must. I must. Now, that is a very strange terminology when you are relating with your creator. Like, you are relating with your creator and you personally have something you must do. That's strange. You don't know, but it's a strange thing. Let me tell you why it's strange. Because when somebody creates something, when you create something, you see, what you created there, after... There's always purpose before you create a thing. Like you can never create something and then after you create it, you now say, what's this thing for? I mean, it's not possible. It's that you already have an idea of what it is you want. Then you create. So it means that purpose precedes creation. Do you understand that? So the created thing, you see, can never, purpose cannot initiate from what was created. It cannot. What was created, you cannot initiate purpose from what was created. What was created must be aware of the purpose of he that created it. You see? So you can't be what was created and you are saying, I must. It's not possible. The person that must is creator. It's not created that can say, I must. You see, let me say this to you. You know, I was sharing the other time. There was a time I was living somewhere. I was living in a particular house. Very fantastic house like this. You see, when we got to that house, when we wanted to rent that house a few years ago, my wife got there. My wife said, I can't live here. You see, I told her, you can. She said, Pastor, I can't live here. I said, you can. And I told her, there's no way in the world that you cannot live. When you are a missionary, you can live anywhere. So this particular place, we're going to live there. And so she said, all right, we're going to live there. So we moved our stuffs there inside this beautiful house. You know, it's just that in the house, there were two who lives in that house. Praise God. Or two, who lives in that house? The person and myself. Are we together here? Praise God. Don't worry, Ty, we're fine. Or two, who live in that house? Are you with me? Now, this person who lives, is an attack. You understand? This person who lives in that house, he is the one who is a friend to the owner of the house. So he's like the caretaker. So I'm like the tenant. No, both of us are tenant, but he has forgotten. Like he's a superior, is a chief tenant. You understand? But because he's been living there for a while, you see, he has the feeling of the owner of the house has entered inside him, which is beautiful. But the house had one very fantastic condition. I'm talking about Creator. And I want to use the story. It had one fantastic condition. So the man told me, you see, the man is a Calabar man. He told me, he said that, you will get water, you have water, but you will not know where the pumping machine is. Like, you can't put it on. I'm the only one who will put it on. So the pumping machine, where to put it on, was like a mystery. You see, so whenever I need water, I need to trust God, like God will touch his heart. And that he will need water in that period so that he can put it on. Because I'm not worthy to know where that pumping machine is. You see, the person who creates something knows where he put the battery, knows where he puts the on button and the off button. It can remove the battery at any time. You see, when your radio is making noise, you see, sometimes you have the decorum to carefully remove the batteries. Other times, there's a way you that the battery will remove and the thing will stop speaking. Listen, you are like that. No matter how brilliant you think you are, God knows where to press. And you will be off. Now, you don't know that place. You don't know that place. See, if you commit suicide and you die, it's because God allowed it. If God says you won't kill yourself, you know, that's the mystery of hellfire. That's one of the mystery of hellfire. Is to go through death while existing. Like you are dying, you are experiencing death alive. That's the mystery of hellfire. The mystery of hellfire is that I will give you the grace to feel death eternally. You know, normally death is you will die. You think you won't feel it. No, this type of death I will give you is that you will die, but you will know what it means to die. And you will know, you will have that feeling eternally. So God can make you unkillable. So what I'm saying is that you are not aware of where it is. God can press it at any time. I tell you the truth. You see, one man asked Tony Bakari a question. I heard it from a preacher. Tony Bakari went to see somebody who was critically sick, almost like maybe the last stage of a cancerous. Like the doctors had told them when to die. And somebody went to visit him. And said, well, the Lord will keep you. You will make heaven and left. Now asked Tony Bakari that, who will die first? The person on the sick bed or the person that went to visit? He said, the person that went on the sick, that is on the sick bed. He said, no, you don't know who will die first. Because the person that went to visit that one who is on the sick bed can come out of that and a car will hit the person and die immediately. You don't even know who will die first. I tell you the truth. So, you don't know where your on and off button is. That button, only God knows where it is. Even when Satan wanted to deal with Job, God told Satan not to touch his on and off button. So it's like the on and off button is God's right. Do you understand? You can do something that God will not desire to touch it, but because of what you have done, maybe you have broken some rules. For example, honor your father and your mother. so that it will be well with you and your days will be long. So immediately you dishonor them consistently, you'll find out that your life expectancy is dropping by your own self. So the Lord will now tell Satan that you can press it. He has already, you know, he's already inviting you to press it. Just press it for him. And then maybe you just have kidney failure or cancer failure. But the real failure was that you did not honor your parents. Yeah, and that's what led, because there needs to be a physical explanation for your death so that it won't look so mysterious. So they will explain it with a disease. They can just say melanogycosis. You see? And that's how you just go. So I'm saying that you that don't know the button, your on and off button, why do you think you have the right to say you must do something? The guy said, I must. Now, immediately, are you together with me? Immediately, you begin to see your life outside your creator. You're already in trouble. Where you see your life outside your creator, and then you assume that you own it. You're in trouble. You see, I was advising somebody recently, and I told the person was making a very serious decision in life. Very serious. And I had a meeting with a woman, and I said, this decision you are making, you see, you are making this decision because you think that your life is your own. You see, if you knew that your life is not your own, you won't make this decision. You see, there are some decisions we can't make. You see, even though you think you are making it, but you are making a big blunder because it's beyond your pay grade. Are you together with me? It's beyond your what? It's beyond your pay grade. For example, if any of you, maybe so any of my children here, you tell me that you want to leave your wife, for example, I will ask you who told you. No, I will ask what did your wife do? That's another conversation, another matter. But to get to the point where you will say you are done, I will ask you who told you. Is it because you have an assumption that it's your marriage? You know, it's not your marriage. All your marriages is not your own. It is the Lord's marriage. He wants to make a movie. And then he invited both of you as actors. And you are meant to stay on script. Right? Now, if you don't stay on script, are you together with me? If you don't stay on script, you see, are you together with me, my friends? If you don't stay on script, it's God that will tell you. And scripture tells us when God permits us. Yes, there are times God permits us to exit. There are. I've told people to exit before. It's not like I can't tell somebody to exit. You see, but it has to be based on what scripture permits us. Are you together with me? But I'm not even talking marriage today. I'm just saying you don't own your life. Huh? Can you tell somebody as though you are fighting the person that you don't own your life? You don't own. Tell somebody this life is not your own. It's not your own. Are you sure the person heard you? Tell the person this life is not your own. I tell you, it's not your own. Listen, if you understood this, your life will be simplified. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes the reason why, in the context of marriage, the reason why I apologize is because the owner of the marriage, in the script, what he's saying right now is that act one, scene one, apologize. You know that? Is it? Are you together with me? If you act film and they make you a thief, does it mean you are a thief? No. It's just that the director says right now, you have to be a thief. You see, Risky, what's her name? That's not how she is. You see, but they told her to be like that. You understand? So when, because for that time of the drama, she's not her own. Yeah. That's why you saw her makeup. That's not the makeup she wishes to put on. But the director says, because of this drama, this is the makeup you put on. And that's why the drama was successful. You see, anyone that wants to be themselves on that stage will make a mess of that drama. The beauty of that drama is that the people who were there, you see, follow the script of the director. That will be the only time your life will be beautiful. I tell you the truth. The only time your life, Lucy, the reason why your life is beautiful is because you're following the Lord. try not follow the Lord, you will see. There is no hope for guilty when you desert the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, if the people who have deserted the Lord, if they show you what they are going through, you see, I'm not talking about what they show you on Instagram. I'm telling you, if they tell you what they go through you see, not all problems are external. The biggest problems go on inside you. I tell you, they are the biggest problems in life. And I must need go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 oxen. You see, these things that they have been able to do, is because the Creator gave them the ability. They are beginning to assume that it's born out of their creativity. And they are using His blessing as an excuse. Yeah. They are using His blessing as an excuse. May you not use the blessings of God as an excuse. Because I suspect that, you know, the Lord said that if your right hand will not let you serve Him or go to the king, go to heaven, you should call it off. Something like that. If God gives us that advice, I feel it's the same advice He's doing. If God gives you something and He finds out that thing is not making you get into the kingdom, I suspect He will call it off. Yeah. I suspect He will call it off. I just have that suspicion that if the blessings of the Lord over your life, there is a thin line between creativity and madness. The reason why you are creative and not mad is because God said your creativity should not enter madness. Because every mad person is being creative. The madman on the street, see, what you are seeing is dirty clothes. He's seeing color combination. I tell you, what I'm just saying is that what you are calling brilliant can also be madness. The reason why you didn't fall into madness is that God is keeping your brain. I'm just saying, like you can run mad. The reason why you are sane is the message of God. So if that creativity is why you are not serving Him as you should serve Him, if He removes His hand, you will just find out that you are making designs on the road. I say, you know. I tell you, have you not seen mad preachers? Yeah, I mean people who are preaching, but they are mad. So you need to make heaven. And the guy is mad preaching. So it means as I'm preaching like this, that is making sense. It's not because I'm the greatest. It's because God has allowed my preaching not to make me run mad. I can preach into madness. You see, if I don't serve Him the way He wants me to serve Him. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. So, let's stay on our scripture. It says, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I bought it. You didn't buy it. You didn't buy it. You were granted grace. Like the Lord made it possible for you to buy it. You see, so you should go for His wedding to thank Him. You didn't buy it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. You see, that's an excuse. I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So those who marry don't go out. That's what I say. Like when you marry, it's like you lock yourself in forever. Are we together here? So the servant came and showed his lord these things. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring in either the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Like it's as though God is so in need of us. Like His love is amazing. It's as if you see, let me tell you something about my calling. You know, the call of God is upon my life. Yeah, it is. You know, but I believe that the call of God is upon my life because I feel like I started as part of the poor, the maimed, like the people who God called. Because I know that I can't be God's original plan. No. So I think people who were better than me were carried away by that they are better. You know, and I just said, God, if you can use somebody, if you can use anybody, use me. Here I am. And that's how God chose me. Now, let's quickly, in wrapping up, you see, but the challenge with this poor, again, the challenge with this poor and all these people is that when they now get rich also, when they too now buy, you see, the reason they came is because there's nowhere to go. So, you see, sometimes, we can't be sure if you love the Lord. It might be that you have nothing to do. And so don't judge those yet who are not doing serving the Lord. Maybe you have more time than them. Maybe if you get more serious also, you will tell the Lord that, you know, I just married. Maybe the reason you are coming is because you want to marry. You see? But you know, if you still don't have anything to do, like you are poor and you are still not serving God, you know you are doomed. Because the assumption is that these ones are easy to get. But you see, are you listening to me? But you see the plan. Your plan must be this, that right now where I'm having a good time with God, I must now make vows and make decisions of the type of person I will be when the blessing of God comes upon me. You must decide beforehand. Because the Bible talks about how our wealth has wings. Yeah, there is wings. You see, you think you can't fly, let money come. You see, there is an inspiration that wealth gives. Inspiration that wealth gives. Are we preaching here? Let's run to Matthew. Let's run to Matthew 22. I want to wrap up the message very quickly. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of God is like a certain man who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. You can give me the old KJV. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Somebody say, all things.
All things.
You see, the greatest decision you can make in life is to follow the Lord. Because in following the Lord, all things are ready. I tell people, if your reason for following the Lord is economic, it's even a smart reason. I'm telling you the truth. I tell people, serving God is my biggest financial decision. Godliness is profitable in all things. I tell you the truth. All things. All things. God now sees you as his messenger. And so he's not afraid to route his blessings through you. You know, when God sends you somewhere, he knows where he has a plan already for where you will live. When others are looking for where they are living, where they will do this, God already has a plan for you because you are no longer living for yourself. You are now government property or kingdom property. Praise God. He says, tell them all things. Do you know in your service for God, sit down, brother, in your service for God, then you know, if you are not married, those who are not married here, in your service for God, there is plan for husband there. Yeah. It will not be, the husband now will no longer be husband for you to just enjoy. It will not be husband that God has ordained for you so that his purposes over your life. It's about purpose now. It's no longer about I'm married. It's now about purpose. Are you together with me? Because all that God is thinking about is purpose. Why do I know? Because he's creator. You see, if you are creator, you must be purposeful. Creator thinks in line of purpose. So right now, God is thinking purpose. He gives you a man for purpose. He's thinking purpose. He gives you wealth for purpose. It says all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. You see, when I got here, I began to cry. It says they made light of it. Do you know how many of us here, the most unimportant thing in your life are the things that pertain to God and his kingdom? A lot of you are like that here. like you have time for everything. It is the time left that is for the kingdom. Like you have money for everything. You have money for, you don't understand. It's as though the kingdom is like, you treat the kingdom like a beggar on the road. Like you do everything first before you even, it says, they made light of it. There are a lot of you here, the things of God are the, you understand? Like there are people here, you have a reputation of you can never get late to work. Like your boss knows you. And in the same vein, you have a reputation. You can never come early to church. Yeah. You make light of it. When it's time to organize office party, I tell you the truth, everybody unanimously chooses you as the organizer. But you have never organized anything in the house of God. Like you are not found in God's house. And do you know, I told you in the first service that the way you relate with God's house is the way you relate with God. That's how God sees it. I showed you a lot of scriptures for that. I tell you, friends, you make light of it. You see, one of the deliverances I'm trusting God for myself and for us is that we will not make light of the things of God. Yeah. You know why? It is the weightiest of all things. It is actually the weightiest. I asked the question in the first service. Which one of you, after you die, are you going to meet your boss in heaven? You see, you are not dying to appear before your boss. You are going to appear before the Lord. You will not appear before your boss. The weightiest thing is usually what we make the lightest of things. Like the lightest of things, we make it the weightiest. Do you know how many things are light that we make weight of? Eh? You know, the Pharisees, one day came to ask just a question, and they thought they were asking a big question. It's like a particular man, you see, a particular woman, you see, her husband died. After her husband died, you see, she now married the younger brother of her husband. That one too died. She married the next younger one. She married about five of them. So when we get to heaven, who will be the husband in heaven? And in their head, they have put Jesus in corner. And Jesus said, your question doesn't even have an answer. Because where you are going, there is no marriage there. Like there will be no conversation about who is married, who she doesn't have husband in heaven. So those guys actually think that when we... So you mean heaven is so... that we'll continue with the marriage we are doing here. We'll go and do it. You know the amount of quarrels? That means when we get to heaven, we'll still be throwing ourselves pan and this thing. Angels will be doing counseling for us. Paul advised us that we should not even get married. I'm just saying that what there are a lot of things that are light that we have made weighty. Do you know, even naturally speaking, there are a lot of things that are weighty now, that were light. I mean naturally speaking, not spiritual now. Some years ago. Yeah, there's some clothes you are wearing now, that is big deal. Are you together with me? Many years ago was not a big deal. And there are some clothes that look ugly now. That there are some dressing you will dress now. People will laugh at you. If you dress it in the next 10 years, you'll be the biggest boy. Yeah. Those days, people used to wear baggies and all of that. Later, we started laughing at baggies. Pencil. Baggies is now returning. Yeah. And the people wearing it think they're wearing something new. Yeah, people wearing big clothes think they're wearing something new. We wore big clothes. When I was way younger than this, it was big clothes. You wear baggy clothes. That it will not have one thing like this in the side. One jeans that will have one curve thing like that. It's what some people were wearing then. And now, are people that we are the new people now? There's nothing new under this, under the sun. Really, there's nothing new under the sun. Listen, the whole duty of man is to just have the Lord. I tell you the truth. Let me say this to you. If you are not serving the Lord, there is a major crisis going on in your mind. Not serving the Lord is an attack against your soul. I am telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Some of the reasons for your instability is because you are not serving the Lord. You try it and see. Serve the Lord. Pastor Zach, what do you mean by serve the Lord? Tell yourself, my life is not my own. And I want to leave it for the Maker. And commit myself to the things that are important to Him. And check what will happen with your life. Check some years after. Listen, there are some protections I have. Because I've been serving the Lord since I was 16 years old. It has kept me from a lot of things. With all the weaknesses and challenges I have, just serving the Lord has kept me. You see, when you are serving the Lord, you are protected from some things. Yeah. You might not know. Listen, those of you who are serving the Lord, you take a pause and you find out. You take a pause and find out what will happen to you. I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes the reason why you are going to make heaven is because you don't have time to do some things. Because that time you have filled it with serving God.
Yes.
Yeah. It will be difficult for some of us because there's no time. We have to rush the sin because there's no time. And we can't even live in sin. Not because we don't want it. I don't know if I... There is no time for it. It's not lack of desire. It's lack of time. After a while, lack of time has taken out the desire. There's no time. What time do you have? You are with me on Sunday. From Monday, you are here. You know, 7 o'clock looked like a big deal. Now, in 2 weeks, we're all used to 7 o'clock. Now, I was coming to church to 7, and it felt like we are used to 7 o'clock. Before, it was 8. Now, we have made it 7. We don't know whether we say there's something we need to do. We need to bring the service to 6 o'clock. After the while, your body will adjust. I tell you the truth that your body is Superman in disguise. Yes. There are a lot of things it can do. It's not behaving as if it cannot do it. Yes. If you knock it that thing once, twice, everything, you'll find that it will adjust.
Yes.
Yeah. Now we're getting used to this. It's because there's no time. Yeah, we mean from morning till around 4, 5. 4 before you go home. I know I'm not there, but I know your wife. You have to give your wife time, attention. Sometimes that's why I release you guys. I say, go home. I'm married. So I know the greatest need of a woman. Even though she will say, wait now. She will say to me, she's the one that asked you to stay. But she will still say, I just want you to know that we've not been having time. And now I'm not complaining. I just want you to know. You see, if you know how to treat a woman, you can never be a fool. It's one of the highest knowledge in life. The only person I see as wise is someone that can deal. You see, the real wisdom is dealing with a woman. Yeah. I tell you, if your wife says she's satisfied with you and says, Kai, you are a great husband, I tell you, you are a wise man. But if you ask your wife and your wife tells you, well, you're not that bad. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You can never know science, be an astronomer, be an astronomer. I don't yet count you as wise. Because the knowledge of the universe is not as complicated and is not as deep as the knowledge of a woman. Yeah. Is the deepest knowledge. That's why Paul told us that when you are looking for pastors, don't go to Bible school. Look for one person that can take care of his home. If he can successfully do that, he can be a pastor. I tell you the truth. It doesn't matter how tall you are or how much you have. To know a woman, you have to sit down and learn. Like you will sit down. And then you can't freestyle. And then I told you in the first time, you cannot carry the challenge. You can't carry a knowledge from somewhere. Maybe you have MSc in maybe croquetry or something and bring it. It will not work. It's like a different knowledge. You need to sit down and understand it. Because, you see, it's like a spiritual knowledge also. Because what a woman is saying is absolutely not what she's saying. So if you handle everything she said, you see, one of the things that frustrates a man is when a woman says, "You are not listening to me." And that's one of the consistent things a woman says. That you are not listening to me. You now sit down again and listen. And the first thing you say, when you say, she will tell you, "You are not listening." I tell you the truth, eh? You need another type of ear. You see, this these two physical ears cannot hear what the woman is saying. You need another ear. I tell you. Anytime I see a man that a woman is happy around, genuinely, not a boyfriend, husband, you see, that's why if you're not happy around your boyfriend, you see, don't marry him. Because that's the easiest thing he will do in his life. To be a boyfriend is the easiest thing in life. So if he's failing as a boyfriend, you see, because Oju to my bani kale. The eye that will still walk at night, or I don't know how to say that. But it will start shaking early. I tell you the truth. Are you with me, friends?
Yes, sir.
You need to sit down to know a woman. I tell you. You need to sit down. You have to sit down. You have to be, and that's why the greatest asset of every man who will be a great husband is not money. It's not the same. Money is important. Money is, you see, one of the things Christians have taken lightly is money. We have taken that thing too. We have disrespected that thing too much. And it's causing troubles. If you know the importance of money as a man, you won't joke with it. You see, money is important. Listen. The ability for a woman to love a man without money is a miraculous ability. What I mean is unnatural for a woman to love a man that doesn't have money. It's not a natural thing. It's like a miracle that really happens. And it should not be something you should desire. Do you understand? I tell you the truth. Why? It's not because of money. It's because the greatest need of a woman is security. That's in this old world, the greatest number one need of a woman is security. So when a woman is even asking you to say "I love you," when you say "You are not telling me you love me," it's not that. It's the security. Like she still wants to know if she's still important, and that's why when you say it today, you have to say it tomorrow, and say it next tomorrow. Because she needs to be sure. So then money is a defense according to scripture. So the greatest tool of security is money. That's why women like money.
Yeah.
But what they like is actually security.
Yeah.
So it's not a carnal thing that a woman likes money. It's actually part of a natural, you know, DNA. And the one that is doing like she doesn't like money. Yeah. You see, why? Because the woman needs an answer for the shame that might happen tomorrow. So the woman is trusting God. She's already thinking of how to pay the next 3 rents. But as a man, you don't care. And I say, you go, ah. I have a plum now. I have a plum. Nothing happened. You see, but the woman is already troubled. For a problem that hasn't started. You see, and then she has to, she will respond to those feelings. But she can't tell you articulately that's what she's responding to. So you would think the issues are the issues she raised. But those issues she raised are just tools that she used to express a feeling. That she doesn't have the boldness to tell you what she's talking about. And so you must have the wisdom to trace it. So when you see consistent misbehavior of your woman, it's not the issues. There is another issue that she can't see that you need to trace. You see, you don't feel like marrying again. Let me release everybody to go home. I have, time has gone, but I believe that I have poured something inside you. And what I have poured inside you is, we're here to serve the Lord. Don't make light of the things of God. Lift up your right hand. Say, God is the most important thing to me.
God is the most important thing to me.
Say, His kingdom is the most important thing to me. Say,
dear God,
I will serve you with my life.
I will serve you with my all.
My life is yours.
I do not do what I wish.
I do what you wish.
I take your kingdom important.
That means I take your church important.
Thank you, Father, for life.
All that I have is yours
because you gave it to me.
And I'll give it back to you.
This way, O Lord,
I know I will flourish.
I know I wouldn't lack any good thing.
And I know I'm protected.
Thank you, Father, for life.
I'm excited, O God,
that we are in this together.
And most importantly,
we are in this forever.
In Jesus' name I prayed.
Amen.
God bless you.